Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed on each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, your only begotten Son, sending him into the world, letting him be the perfect Lamb, a ransom for each and every one of us, paying our debt to you, making it possible for us to be reconciled to you, making it possible for us to become your adopted sons and daughters when we accept that gift. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, for your Holy Spirit. And we ask you this morning, Father, fill us to overflowing. And may we leave here truly different than how we arrived. In your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
He is risen.
Truly he is risen.
He is risen.
Truly he is risen.
He is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Outstanding. Actually, no, that's why it was reverberating so well. Luke 24, 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered the words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. We are celebrating today Easter, a risen Lord, physically resurrected from the dead. Amen. This wasn't a spiritual resurrection. It wasn't a separation of the Christ consciousness from the human Jesus at the last second. It's Jesus, fully God, fully man, paying our debt, dying on the cross, being buried in the tomb, and rising on the third day. We have, according to Scripture, those are our witnesses. That's what we have to go on. Is that enough? Is he risen? Can we trust this? Can we trust this? Can we trust the individuals who wrote it down? Can we trust their character? Why?
They're sinners just like us.
But why? What happened to them? Exactly. They did. Paul, writing later, after his meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Peter, writing in 2 Peter, wrote, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were witnesses of His majesty." We can have a little bit of confidence in that, folks. Granted, there are three major schools of thought when dealing with the Bible: the liberal, the Catholic, and the conservative. For the liberal, it is the Bible and human reason. Wherever the Bible and human reason appear to conflict, human reason almost always wins. That's how they go about their belief in the Bible and their faith. In the Catholic, it's the Bible and tradition. Wherever the Bible and tradition conflict, tradition almost always trumps. In the conservative, it's the Bible. Wherever Bible and human reason appear to conflict, we understand that while the Bible does not conflict with human reason, it does go beyond it. There are things beyond our comprehension, beyond what we have personally witnessed, that the Bible clearly records. With tradition, where the Bible and tradition conflict, tradition must be modified to match the biblical evidence. That's why for so many of us, it is sola scriptura. It's the Bible only. That's our foundation. That's what we have to go by. But can we have faith in this? Can we have faith in how it was handed down and who it was handed down by? Yes, we can. But what is this faith? In Hebrews 11:1, the author writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now the word, translated in English, substance, is defined as that which stands under, foundation, support. It is the concrete that you can plant your feet upon. The word translated into evidence can literally word for word be translated as title deed. It has also been translated and defined as courtroom evidence or convincing testimony. That's just one area that our faith can stand on. It is not a leap of faith that crosses chasms, but it is a step of faith. There is faith involved in this. None of us saw this happen. We have to trust what we've been told. Simon Greenleaf was one of the co-founders of Harvard Law School. One of his textbooks on courtroom evidence is still used today in many law schools. He set out to show that the Bible was myth, that there could be no true resurrection story. What he found out after his investigation was the validity and veracity of the Christian truth claims. He converted to Christianity, and he wrote Testimony of the Evangelists, showing that he could take the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, into a courtroom, and he could establish a great case for the resurrection before any impartial court. He was pretty much the founding father of a lot of the legal apologetics that goes on today. F.F. Bruce, historian and archaeologist, just knew the Bible records were wrong. Knew it. So he set out to prove it. He focused primarily on Luke. He came to the conclusion that Luke was a phenomenal historian. He converted to Christianity. And he wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, "There can be no doubt that Dr. Luke was a historian of the first magnitude. And there can be not a shade of doubt that the New Testament records stand as accurate and authentic." But there's even more, and it comes straight from here. The followers, the night of the crucifixion, the day Jesus died, they left. They forsook him. They split. Peter denied him three times before the cock crowed. They were scared. They were shaken. They were broken. Yet less than 2 months later, Peter is standing in the center of Jerusalem, proclaiming Jesus as Christ and Lord. "You men who crucified, he is risen.
Truly he is risen."
Peter went on to evangelize constantly and consistently. He was crucified upside down. He requested it because he felt unworthy to die as Jesus had. James, the older brother of John the Beloved, one of the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Actually, he was beheaded in AD 44 under Herod Agrippa. James, the brother of Jesus, despised everything his brother stood for. Hated it. After the resurrection, he became the bishop of Jerusalem. And around AD 62, He was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple and was beaten to death in the courtyard below. Paul, one of the most ruthless Christian hunters, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, ended up writing almost 40% of the New Testament, and he was killed for his faith sometime between AD 64 and AD 67. But was that all? Was that it? What happened to the others? The other disciples? A lot of this is the tradition that has been handed down. A couple of them are in the Bible themselves. Stephen. Saul of Tarsus was a witness to that before his conversion. James, John's older brother. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. History states that he was crucified at Patras in Achaia, southern Greece. Thomas, the doubter. Story has it that he was speared to death in India. Matthew, the tax collector, martyred in Ethiopia or Persia. Simon the Zealot and Jude, both killed in Persia. James the Lesser. James, John's brother, was considered, always called James the Greater. James the Lesser, martyred in Egypt. Philip, martyred at Hierapolis. Nathanael, also called Bartholomew, skinned alive and beheaded. Yet none of them gave up their testimonies of what they saw. They claimed to the bitter end to be eyewitnesses to it. Dr. Luke investigated in himself, stating in the first chapter of Luke, "My dear Theophilus, this is what I have looked into, so that you may know and may believe." Yes, it does take a step of faith, folks. But we're not asking you to believe in fanciful stories, because Paul also wrote, if Christ is not risen, if bodies cannot rise, if he didn't leave the tomb, then we have no hope. We are still dead in our sins. We are still enemies of God. So on this morning, as we celebrate one of the most wonderful instances, after the most horrible instances, God breaking into human history, being put to death, today we celebrate the promise, for he is risen.
Truly he is risen!
He is risen!
Truly he is risen!
He is risen!
Truly he is risen!
Outstanding. Phoenix, could you do me a favor, sir? He's just waiting for my head to pop. That's all he's asking for. I need somebody to check the oven downstairs from yesterday. We had an Easter egg hunt, and we made Easter cookies, and we placed them in the oven. Where might they be, sis?
Celia and I came last night to look for the eggs that were missing.
Excellent.
If I don't see it with my eyes, I'm not believing it.
Good job, Thomas. There's tape on it, and there's nothing in there. Outstanding. We have yet another tradition here. And so far, we have been extremely consistent.
I'm messing them up.
We haven't had a chance to have the cookies come out right yet that I'm aware of. 10 years, and still haven't found it yet. There's a magic to this that we just don't possess.
When I texted Pat last night and I told him that I messed up the cookies like he always does, he told me that ironically he made these cookies with his kids last night and they turned out perfectly.
Once I see it.
Exactly. Would anyone like to try one?
Me.
Come on. I've never been that brave myself.
So traditionally, you're supposed to be able to break them open. They're supposed to be empty and hollow inside.
Oh my God, they are.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Wow. Truly, it's supposed to be hollow on the inside, signifying the empty tomb. Anyone? Oh, look at this. All right. See, the eggs weren't such a big hit, but the cookies are. This will work. Yes, of course. Yeah, I do believe they're edible. Sure. Anybody else? Yeah, they're all ready. The rock wasn't rolled away, it was shattered. You want one, princess?
No, I'm...
Oh. Yeah, they do. What? How bad? I'm not a baker, folks, so I do not claim that they're going to be very good. I do not bake. That's my wife. Sweet! We have a volunteer. Oh. All right, folks, let's stand and worship with our last song. If the worship team will come forward.